A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is a Roifield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
This is Dumpty Dum, a podcast about the Archers and the goings-on of Ambridge. Analysing how greasy the skin of your gala apples are, I'm your host, Philippa Hall. And as Quentin is on holiday, joining me is Jackie Lye, who plays the wonderful Joy Horville. Jackie, welcome to Dumpty Dum.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
It's very exciting. We're thrilled that you are here. Are you well today?
I'm very well, thank you. It's a lovely sunny day here, so I'm very happy.
Wonderful. Well, this week's great Dumpty Dum ABBA collaboration tune is from Stephen. And on this episode, we hear from Quentin, Rosie, Jen, Mia, Emily, Witherspoon, Bill, as well as emails and messages from Charles, Chris, Judith and Helen. Marvellous.
Oh, wow.
Now, Jackie, I've got a few initial questions for you, and then we'll go as normal to a brief roundup of what's happened in Ambridge, and then on to those caller-inners who've got some questions for you and some observations on the week in Ambridge. So Jackie, did you listen to the Archers before you got the part of Joy?
I was what I'd call an intermittent listener. I would like get interested in a story and I'd listen, and then I'd get busy and get out of it for a while. But I've got some friends who are like avid, mad listeners. So I've always, they've always kept me up to date with, you know, what was happening. But since I've joined, I'm totally an avid listener now. I love it.
Oh, that's really interesting. So you're listening to hear what else is going on.
Oh, absolutely. Because if you're not in it, you don't really know what's happening. So you're just a listener like everybody else.
And does it change from, you know, your experience when you record a scene and then you hear it some months or weeks later? Does it feel different to you?
Sometimes it does, especially if they've had to put any sound on,
yes,
or anything, like, you know, if there's been anything added in the edit. And sometimes it just sounds the same and you think, oh, I remember doing that. So,
can you remember getting the call to say you'd got the part?
I can, yes. It was really funny because my agent was like, I can't believe it. I've never had anybody in the Archers. And she's an Archers fan. So she was absolutely thrilled, Yeah, because I know Jeremy Howe, so I'd worked with him in theatre years and years and years ago when he was a theatre director. And I sort of worked out, I think it must, because my agent was saying, how have you got this? It's like, thanks very much, Janet. But I think we worked out that, you know, obviously when they were looking for the character and she got the call saying, we're looking for this kind of character, she can be at that point anywhere from the north. You know, we wanted to be an outsider.
Yeah.
So yes, I was absolutely thrilled. I couldn't believe it.
And day one in the studio, what was it like?
Oh, really scary. Even though everybody's very friendly, I was really nervous.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're hearing people, you know, you're standing next to someone that whose voice you know really, really well. And you think, oh my goodness, it's David Archer or, you know, Lillian. And so, yeah, it was a little bit strange. And what I can't remember now, because I joined, my first episodes aired September 2019.
Right.
So I probably recorded them in August that year. So it seems such a long time ago now. Yeah, I know it's not. In Archer's world, it's really new.
Well, but, it's more than 2 years ago. So yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's right.
And you've been through so much. The cast seem like a lovely group. Is there a sort of a special feeling there?
They are. They're all really, really lovely. Obviously, because of, you know, the pandemic and what's gone on, everything's very different now. But in the olden days, you know, there's a green room and we would do a read through. So everyone would be in the room who was in the episode to do the read through. And then you could, if you weren't in for, you know, an hour or so, you could go somewhere and go out and have a coffee and what have you. And it was people catching up, because sometimes if you're not in the same block, you could see people who you hadn't seen for a year. So on my first day, I remember people going, oh, darling, how are you? Haven't seen you for a year. And how's, you know, and they'd check up on everyone's families and just like friends, you know. It's really, really nice, warm atmosphere, very, very supportive.
So now are the rehearsals still on Zoom? Is that, or are they happening sort of in the flesh?
Well, we're back in the studio, which is great. Yeah. I mean, obviously in a very different manner. The only thing that we still do on Zoom is the read through.
Right.
So we do the read through on Zoom. So you see the back of everyone's houses and, you know, the kitchen and what have you. But then we record in the studio, obviously following all the guidelines. Yes. So it's very different from how it used to be. There's not as many people in the studio. Temperature checks when you go in and, you know, you're following lines on the floor and, you know, they're doing everything possible to keep everybody safe, obviously.
Yes, but it shows what good actors you are that we don't get a sense of those formalities at all when we're listening.
It's true. And myself, when I listen, you can't. And sometimes some people are still remote if maybe, you know, they've had to isolate because of what's going on. And you just can't tell who's in the studio and who's remote. It's brilliant. They're doing a really good job, all the technical people.
Yes, definitely. And when you record a scene, I'm interested, do you tend to just record it once, or are there a lot of times that you record the same scene?
It sort of depends, but they always allow, we would always do it two or three times, just to get the flow of it.
Yes.
Or the director might say, oh, let's try it this way. You might just have a thought, could I try it this way? So it's very, you know, this, though it's tight for time, especially with all the, you know, current restrictions, there's always time to try it a couple of ways. I think I probably may have done a scene where they've gone, you know, that's great, don't need to do that again. But on the whole, we'll do it two or three times.
And I'm interested because obviously the episodes last a fixed amount of time. And yet it must be hard for them to judge how long it will take for you to deliver a scene. Do they ever, when you've done a scene, say, well, that was great, but can you slow it down a bit or speed it up?
Yes, they do. Sometimes they do that. Or we might, you know, sometimes get to the recording and they might say, this episode's running a little bit long. So we might have to do little trims on the day, just take a few lines out. But they've been doing it for so long. You know, they're so experienced. I think they just know. They just absolutely know how long things tend to take. So most of the time, the time they've allotted is fine and we get on with it and it all works fine. Occasionally they might be up against it and say, really, we've got to get a move on here.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you may or may not know, but here at Dumpty Dum, we do tend to overanalyze characters. We've got a lot of theories about joy, about Rochelle, about Joy's ex-husband, and some you're going to hear about in today's calls.
Nice.
So let's get on, I think. But before we go to the calls, let's just have a quick recap of the goings on in Ambridge, which I have to warn everyone, it's not a patch on Quentin's roundup. So everyone just try to put up with my roundup ramblings this one time. So it was a week of people thinking only of themselves, except Jazza and Blake, of course. On Sunday, Justin was woken by Shula and Lillian with their brilliant idea for the stables, involving not much of a plan, but a great deal of money. And like a scene from The Apprentice, Justin wasn't impressed. Kenton and David butted heads and hearts over who was going to make the Harvest Supper welcome speech, needing Jazza, like the United Nations, to steer them to a compromise. On Monday, we had Tom stressing over the skin of his gala apples and then Adam stressing over his new job, which then became his old job, as he interrupted Ian's lunch service to pass on the news that he'd lanced the boil with Christian Lancer Boyle. On Tuesday, Justin went into profit margin spy mode, snooping around the stables to assess the opportunities. And we heard the terribly upsetting background to Blake's arrival back in Ambridge. On Wednesday, Kenton threw his toys out of the pram when he sniffed the fact that Lillian might invest in Shula's stables. And Martin Gibson proved to be the most deplorable, disgusting man, forcing poor Blake into an interview with The Echo. Oh, how we shouted at the radio and then cheered as Jazza came to the rescue. The fact that hashtag Jazza started trending on Twitter says it all. And finally, on Thursday, Jenny found out that Adam had swapped farming for... farming. Kenton and David considered rhyming couplets for their harvest welcome speech. Who needs a pantomime? And then, like the good fairy, Jill offered to make the speech herself. But did we all hear Adam say he can't help smiling? Adam? Can't help smiling? Wow. The world was truly a strange and scary place this week. So, that's what's happened in Ambridge. But what did you, our wonderful Dumdy Dummers, have to say?
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
And first of all, this call is from Quentin, my partner in crime, who, despite being on holiday, has a question for Jackie about Rochelle.
Hi, Philippa and Jackie. It's Quentin here. I know I'm meant to be on holiday, but I couldn't resist getting in touch because we're talking about joy this week. Listeners to the podcast will know that I have often expressed my doubts about Joy. As much as I love her as a character, I do have my doubts about her and her backstory. I don't think she's quite as nicey-nicey as we're being led to believe. So my question to you, Jackie, is this. Does Rochelle actually exist, or is she just a phantom daughter?
There we go. Jackie, does Rochelle really exist?
I have seen that asked on Twitter many times. It makes me laugh.
Yeah.
As you would expect, my answer is going to be very vague because I would say that honestly, that me as an actor, I know as much as everybody else. So I genuinely don't know what the, you know, story writers, the editors have in store for us. As far as I'm concerned, she very much exists.
So you get scripts just a couple of months in advance, or is it much nearer than that?
Since the pandemic, it's a little bit nearer because they're so up against it time-wise. But it's usually about a month before we record that we'll get the script.
Gosh, so you really don't know what lies ahead. No. I mean, we're
not at all.
We're presuming Rochelle is human. I'm not sure if Martin Gibson is human at the moment. The way he's been, oh my goodness. We all thought he was being nice, giving poor Blake a job.
No, horrible.
Yes.
Oh, no, awful.
It was so hard to listen to. I don't know who's worse, Martin or Justin.
It's true. They're a match for each other, aren't they?
They are. I don't know. I think Martin is worse than Justin. Justin's just ruthless, but oh my goodness, yes. Well, there we go, Quentin. That's your question not answered.
And, yeah, sorry.
No, exactly. You can't say. We just have to keep
We have to keep listening.
Yes, exactly. So now we go to the next call, and this is from Rosie. Great to hear Rosie. And she's got a question about Joy's talents.
Ooh. Hi, Philippa and Jackie. It's Rosie Porty here. Very excited that the wonderful Joy is gracing Dumpty Dum with her presence. And I've loved Joy since the minute she arrived in Ambridge, especially when she was psychically communicating with the animals, rescuing corvids, and polishing her match. Just a question from me would be, can we expect to see any future psychic communication with animals or other beings in Ambridge? And would Joy like to become more of a caregiver in the community? So, for example, would she like to help Blake on his road to recovery? And that's it from me. Take care, everybody, and stay safe.
Whoa, lovely question. I like that a lot. Do you know, I'd completely forgotten about that mad, mad episode where she was trying to find the cat, yes, wasn't she? She was trying to find Peggy's cat and communicating with the animals. I'd completely forgotten about that. Oh, she's, bless her. I would personally love to see her do that again. I think that'd be brilliant. And what was the other thing Rosie said? Oh, I definitely think that Joy would love to be more involved in the community. I think she's quite lonely.
Yeah.
And I think to help people feels good for her. And I think she would love it. She would love to get involved. What a lovely idea. We'll have to pass that on to the script writer.
See, all these ideas we can
I know,
give you.
It's brilliant.
Yes, I mean, you mentioned about Joy being lonely, and yeah, obviously we can see that, but whatever she puts her mind to, she seems incredibly skilled at.
She does, doesn't she? She gets on with things, and I think she has got lots of talents. I think quite annoying at times because she likes to let everybody know about them, but she does seem good at things, doesn't she?
Yes, I mean, sorting out Tony with his putting on the security camera, right, and yeah, Lee, and I mean, there's just, yeah, everything. Yeah. You when you get sent a script, there must be some laughs for you when you hear what you've got to do.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. It's such a, you know, you get those envelopes plopping on the mat and you can't wait to open them. A, to read the whole thing and just read them to see what's happening. But also to see what they've got in store for your character. It's great fun. Sometimes I do. I laugh out loud. I'm like, oh, and they'll give me some fun, some great lines. I think I can't wait to do them. It's really
like the
fun.
Life drawing. That was...
oh, my goodness, the life drawing. Bless me, getting a kit, yes, off. She didn't take much asking, did she?
that was great. There's just so many moments that Joy's been involved with. And I was thinking, obviously, last Christmas was quite a time for Joy, and we've got this Christmas coming up. But of course, Christmas Day falls on the Saturday, so we won't get to hear Ambridge on Christmas Day. We'll hear Christmas Eve and Boxing Day.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my goodness.
In fact, we won't even hear Christmas Eve because that's a Friday. So, yes, we'll have to wait to hear. So I wonder which house Joy's going to be in for this Christmas.
I wonder the same as you.
Yes, of course. The script hasn't arrived.
No,
so you don't know.
No prior knowledge at all.
Do you get, and I don't want you to tell me what dates, but do you get booked the dates well in advance? So you
they do what's called an availability check, which is so like a couple of months before, and they will say, could I check Jackie's general availability on the following dates?
Yeah.
And then that's our chance to go back and say, actually, I've got something else on then, or I'm working then, or just, yes, free for them all. And then you won't hear. So that's them knowing then which actors are available when. And then they'll go ahead and finalise their storylines and write for the characters they know, because they know by then that you're available. So obviously they wouldn't want to write something and then discover that the actor was off doing a tour or wasn't available.
Right.
And then you wouldn't hear till nick closer to the time.
So once you've given your availability, you have to keep those dates in
That's
case.
Right. So your calendar is full of possible archers. And then when you find out what you've got, you can then just score out what you're not needed and hopefully fit something else in then if possible.
I mean, I'm interested in this question Rosie raised about Joy being a caregiver and helping mm-hmm. Blake. I think Joy's already developed into a caregiver, and almost so has Jazza as well. I mean, I thought, I think Jazza needs to be the new James Bond.
He's fantastic, isn't he? I love Jazza. Oh,
when he came into the room with the Echo reporter and you just heard this wet going on, you know.
He's fantastic. There's lovely developments to Jazza, aren't there, recently?
He's always been a side character in the past, and to see him come out.
Yeah, but he seems to be quite prominent, doesn't he? It's nice.
And the same I'd say about Joy. Oh, she, I didn't know she was going to be such a major character.
We don't know, do we? I hope so.
She is. Aww. She's major in our hearts. Well, so she'd better be major in the Archers. But anyway, Rosie, thank you very much for your call. And now we've got a call from Jen, who is thinking about Tom and his alleged business talents.
Mm. Greetings, Philippa. Jen here, calling in while out for a walk with the lovely Dumpty Dog in a rather beautiful sunset. Just to tell everybody what an idiot I think Tom Archer is. As some of you know, I have just started a company. We're in the startup phase. I listen to the Archers now so that I can really figure out what would Tom Archer do? And anytime I face a business decision, I think, would Tom Archer do this? And if the answer is yes, then I don't do it. And that's been going great so far. High time someone in the village went in for some sort of business consultancy or accountancy or sorted this lot out. Their rural enterprises are crazy. The shortage of pickers, there's an agricultural college. Johnny goes to it. It's a bus ride away. And he can't recruit enough casual labour to get his apples picked. Really, he should go over and have a chat to Stella, because somehow Stella is managing all that fruit at Home Farm with no problem at all. We haven't heard a single complaint from her. Now, I know Adam's gone, but presumably nobody chopped down the cherry orchard, or maybe they did. But then he also had other soft fruits and strawberries and all kinds of different things. It was a big part of Home Farm's business and operations, and in that mysterious Ambridge way, it seems to have disappeared. So from now on, I shall be asking myself, what would Stella do? And definitely not what Tom would do.
Very good points. Very good points.
That's super, aren't they? So, yes, what would Tom Archer do and do the opposite? And, yes, this point about the agricultural college close by, why have they...
It's a really good point, isn't it?
Yes, they could come in and... All the soft fruit business that they have that Adam was moaning about a lot. I mean, maybe it was just one cherry tree and he just fussed about it
maybe
so much.
It was, yeah.
I don't know.
I like that, what would Stella do?
Yes, we should get that on a T-shirt,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I like that.
Stella seemed a lot more consolatory this week, I thought. Yes. But she didn't have to deal with Pip, so maybe that explains.
That's true.
I don't know why Kirsty doesn't help pick the apples, because she was working there in the dairy recently, so she's probably still got her Bridge Farm hairnet.
We haven't heard Kirsty for a little while, have we?
I think she's still licking her wounds after all that happened with Blake.
Oh, we need to know. We need her back.
And this Bridge Fresh app down, I wasn't aware that Tom had any IT knowledge. Did you?
No, me neither.
So, yes, I think Tom needs to back away from the computer.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe phone the company that runs the software. But Tony seemed to be head of positive thinking this week compared to Tom. He was trying to stay on the bright side, even though the rain came down. I don't know. Do you think Joy would help with the fruit picking if she was asked?
I think Joy would do anything if she was asked.
Yes.
She doesn't seem to have no in her vocabulary, which is worrying. But, you know, it's like anybody asks us to do anything, I think her response is, yes, of course, I can do that.
Well, we all got so cross. We were furious with Eddie the time he took Joy on this car ride.
I know.
That she'd won. She was so hungry.
I know. It was like...
Yes.
I laughed when I got that script. I thought it was lovely. I was like, oh, bless her.
Yes, we were very, we're not often cross with Eddie, but we were that day. Anyway, Jen, absolutely super cool. And now we go to Mia, God Squad Mia, who needs to talk to Joy, or is it Jackie?
Ooh, away, Joy. It's God Squad Mia here in Newcastle Land. I was just whacking down Stoddart Street in Shieldfield the other day. I'm sure I spotted your Rochelle with her bairns coming out of Greg's. But seriously, Jackie, I think you're bringing a real sparkle to Ambridge in the way you're playing Joy. She's clearly a woman of mystery. Lots of speculation if she's in witness protection. Or does Rochelle even really exist? And what Joy's motivations truly are, apart from getting Lee in the sack, of course. But as an actor, I don't suppose you get much chance to input on the character's development. So my question to you is, what do you think Joy's backstory really is? Thanks again to Philippa and the gang. This is God Squad Mia saying amen.
Great accent, Mia. Great accent.
Mia is fantastic. She does fab calls and fab voices. She's a Catholic chaplain at a university.
Oh, wow.
And she does these great voices.
Oh, that's nice. Thank her for that. It was a lovely compliment. It's nice to think that I'm bringing a sparkle to her. That's nice.
Oh, you definitely are. And she's spotted Rochelle coming out of Greg. So,
well, or was it? Who knows?
So, yes, if you could create a pretend background for Joy.
I think whatever I say would make people think, I wonder if that's really what's going to happen, or is it the opposite? So I think I'm like everybody else, kind of, oh, it could be this, it could be that. I definitely think there's things about her that we have that haven't been revealed yet.
Yes.
I think over time, hopefully we'll find out.
And I think particularly for me, because of all that happened with Philip Moss, and I was lured into him, I fell for him hook, line and sinker at the beginning.
Oh, did you? Mm.
Now I'm running every character through my analysis system.
All right. That's made you look at everybody in different eyes. Oh, that's interesting.
Exactly. Because, yes, I want to spot it. I mean, I think we can safely say Joy isn't an alien. So
I think that's fair to say.
Yes. Yeah. We can rule that out at least. Yeah, Mia, that was a great call. You mentioned Greg's and slightly tenuous link to food. I loved how Adam thought he should interrupt Ian before his lunch service to tell him that he'd walked out of his job. I mean,
I know.
Did he expect Ian to go into mourning or something to change the menu to sober souffle? Or
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good idea. Oh, yes, really good ideas.
How can Adam just walk from his job? I'd have thought he would have an employment contract. No,
that's right. I know.
So
maybe there's more to that than we know yet.
Well, yes, I'd be interested to see if there's a letter from his employer or his employer's sister saying you owe us X amount.
It did seem really unreasonable, didn't it? It's
That's going to be something we're going to have to listen to. But no, Mia, that was great. And now we go to Emily, who has a question for Jackie about Joy and Linda.
Hi, Jackie. It's Emily from Canada calling. I'd like to know exactly how satisfying was it to outmaneuver Linda during that planning meeting for the fate. It certainly made for a satisfying listen. Maybe that's a question for Joy. Either one of you may answer. Thank you. Bye.
Yes, we have callers from around the world. And
wow. That's amazing.
So that planning meeting with Linda,
that was fun. I mean, certainly as an actor, when I got that script, I was like, oh yes, I'd been hoping that Joy would come across Linda. And Linda's one of my favourite characters. I love that. So it was great fun. And I loved the way, you know, on the surface, it looked like Joy was just being really innocent and, you know, whatever. But she clearly knew what she was doing.
She played Linda so well.
It was great. She did. I hope that we get some more of that. I liked that.
Yes, I don't know if Linda will let her.
Yes, just keep her at arm's distance. Yeah, yes, I think maybe she will now. But yeah. I thought that was great fun. I hope that the scriptwriters go down that road again.
I think as soon as I heard Linda saying, you know, Joy, you just keep quiet for the first
yes.
few.
Yes. Yes. Although that's not going to happen.
Yes. So did you have to record that a few times, trying different approaches?
Do you know what it felt? It felt really natural. And Carol's, she's just such a brilliant actress. It was just great fun. And I don't think we had to do it too many times. But we both just enjoyed it. It was good fun to play.
It absolutely was a joy to listen. Well, a joy, of course.
To
listen to. But yes, it's you're a character who's really challenging people, but you're doing it so nicely.
Yes, yes. And I wonder whether, you know, it did seem clear that Joy did know what she was doing there with Linda. You wonder sometimes whether she appears, you know, guileless, and maybe there's more, you know, more underneath it.
Yes, sure. And that's why we analyse it even more, because Joy mm-hmm. seems very, very clever, because not only can she not manipulate people, but get them round to her way of thinking, and often it's for the right reasons, but yeah. she does it in a very sort of timid, quiet way.
Yeah. Or like just she's so enthusiastic about things. I think she's one of those people sometimes it's just easier to say yes and
yes.
go along with what they think.
Oh yeah.
Or to shut her up maybe.
No, never. We never want that to happen. Well, Emily, thank you for your call. We'll have some more calls in a moment. But if you're listening to this thinking you'd like to record a message, just visit dumdydum.com and click on the red send voicemail link. Or you can send a WhatsApp voice note to 07957 167 696 and add a +44 if you're outside the UK. Now, let's get back to those calls. And first of all, we hear from Witherspoon. And Witherspoon wins the award for a call that includes both the goings-on this week and also a prediction for Joy.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Philippa, special guest Jackie, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. The week began with brothers Kenton and David squabbling over who would speak at the harvest supper. I thought, what a bunch of silliness and waste of the writer's time. Then our newly authoritative jazzer suggested they share the limelight, which made good sense. Finally, Jill seized the moment and said, kids, pipe down, Mum will do the honors. I'm actually looking forward to hearing what she'll say. I bet it will be quite moving. I know a lot of people have little tolerance for Jill, but she's actually one of my favorite characters. And a big welcome back to Patricia Green, age 90. I am continually amazed by her and June Spencer. I pray I am as cognitively intact and engaged when I reach the ages of the two grand ladies of Ambridge. I think we should also subtitle this week, Adam Gets His Groove Back. I know everyone hates Adam, while I occasionally try to defend the grumpiest gay in the village. Good for him for quitting a job he hated and not wasting time in doing so. As many noted on the Facebook page, he actually seemed happy. He could have been a bit clearer when talking with his mother about the job. She seemed to think that Tony and Tom forced him at gunpoint to work for them. I've previously complimented Jennifer for her emotional intelligence, but in this case, her snobbishness got in the way a bit. Don't worry, Jenny, darling. I don't think this is his forever job. Finally, a fun prediction for Joy. Jazzer and Tracy will pool their money to buy a hair salon that Chelsea can work at, and Tracy will run. It will be the new gossip central for Ambridge. Joy will work the front desk so she can be first up to greet the customers and know all what's going on in the village. Talk to you soon.
Brilliant, Witherspoon. Now, Jackie, I should tell you, Witherspoon is a very highly regarded psychiatrist in America. So he's, wow. Yes, he always has.
That was a great call, wasn't it?
Yes, it really was. So, yes, Kenton and David squabbling and Jazza suggesting they share the limelight. And the actors playing Jill and Peggy are just extraordinary.
I totally agree with what he said. They're incredible, aren't they? And to still be working so well at their advanced ages is amazing.
And they're such an essential part of hearing everything at Ambridge.
Oh, definitely.
Are they an essential part of the acting team as well?
Definitely, definitely. And they're held in high regard, as you would yes. expect.
Do you have to curtsy then?
They don't insist, but you know, sometimes you just have to do these things, don't you?
And what about this idea of Jazza and Tracy pooling money to buy hairdressers for Chelsea?
Well, I think it's genius, absolutely genius idea.
You'd be really good in reception, I think. Well, Joy, yeah.
Do you know, I got quite excited when he was saying that. I thought that was fantastic.
There'd be all sorts.
Just know everything about everybody. It's brilliant.
Yes, because if it's in Ambridge, then you really would know everybody, wouldn't you, and everything.
Marvelous idea.
Do you think Joy would be good in reception, or would she actually like to get the scissors out? And
I think Joy can do anything. I think she's superwoman.
Yeah, I was just going to say super joy.
Do both.
I don't know. All this going on about the Harvest Supper, it seems to have been spoken about for months now. And I don't know, why doesn't everyone just bring a plate, two plates, one sweet and one savoury? So everybody's catered for. Everyone gets something that they want. Otherwise, there's going to be too many.
Great idea, Philippa, but it's too sensible. It wouldn't be as much fun.
That is true, and that's part of it. That's pulling our hair
out. That's right. That's right.
Yes. If it all made sense, you're absolutely right, Jackie. What would we think?
What would we talk about? I mean, yeah.
When Kenton said things are finally looking up, I thought, oh no, that means disaster is a breath away.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't know if you heard, but when Adam told Tony he'd resigned, there was the loudest moo from one of the Montbelliards straight after.
I didn't even notice. Oh, I'm going to have to listen again.
I just thought that's got to be deliberate, because it was great to hear this. And, you know, you say about how things can't be sensible. You know, they have to have all these things to worry about. And I think the same could be said for Jenny. She was really snobby, but I would expect that of her. If she'd been all, oh, wow, good for you, you know, we'd have been dialing 999
yes,
for her.
Wouldn't we? We'd have been questioning it.
Yeah, yes. So we've got to have this. And yeah. I don't know if you get that. Well, it's, you know, if you get your first script, you think, well, why is she doing that? And then when you look ahead at a few episodes, you think, oh, that's why, and it's all sort of
yes,
sewn
yes.
up.
Sometimes you get something in, and there was something in one of my scripts, and I thought, I don't really understand that. And then it was literally about three scripts later, I went, oh, that was planting the seed for that. Oh, right. So, yeah, they're very clever. They're very clever.
Excellent. Well, Witherspoon, thank you for your call. And now we go to Bill from the Ukraine. Bill has two questions, one about Joy's character and one about, well, let's listen to find out.
Hi, this is Bill Brown, Bill in Ukraine, calling again. A question for Jackie. Jackie, when you joined the cast, how much were you told about Joy's character development? Was all that's happened up until now been carefully planned out? Or have they made adjustments and changes since you joined? My second question is, when you did the life drawing scene, was it a closed set? Thank you very much. Bye.
Great questions. Lovely.
So to deal with the first question, Jackie, yes, how much were you told about Joy's character development?
Do you know, you're not really told anything. It's really interesting. I think it's all in the capable hands of the editor and the story writers and then the script writers. And as an actor, you know, you just have to sort of try to bring to life what they write, but they don't really let you in. When you look back on a lot of the characters, you think, oh, gosh, that must have been planned for quite some time. Like, I'm thinking about a character like Philip Moss.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
When you think about how long he was in it and how he seemed such a sort of slightly dull kind of nice man, and then what came out and what he was up to, you think they must have known that all that time. But, you know, to just keep that under the hats, I presume. I mean, I genuinely don't know. But, and it's the same with Joy. I mean, really, all I was told was kind of what you found out very quickly, that she'd moved from the Northeast, relocated to the country. And that was about it, that she was now a single woman, I think, we heard a bit about her getting divorced and that she had this daughter and two grandkids, and that was it. So that was really all I knew.
So is there a secret room at the mailbox that has all the, it's like Line of Duty with all the timelines and you have to, you know, there's a special code to get in there. Is that?
I wonder. I mean, you know, that obviously they keep very careful check, don't they, on everything and what's said, and there's people whose job it is to double check and make sure everything makes sense. But you genuinely don't really get involved in any of that.
It is. It's trusting the writers.
Completely, yeah.
And it means even more, I guess, that the words that you're given express everything, because you don't know, well, act a bit like this because this is going to come up in the future.
Exactly. You don't. You genuinely don't. And I think that's probably deliberate on their part. They just want you to be in the moment, I suppose.
Do the scripts contain a lot of direction as well, or does that come much more when you're actually...
We tend to do that when we're recording. Yeah. I mean, there might be something in brackets that might say, you know, but on the whole, it's more when we get to record it and we have a chat with the director and they'll say what their thoughts are on the scene and what they think's going on, if they think one of the characters is maybe hiding something, then they'll talk about that. And then we'll have a go at it. And then they might say, you know, I think maybe they're a bit more worried than that, or, you know, don't give as much away, you know, and then you have another go at it. So, yeah, so the scripts are very much the dialogue, really.
So do you have a notebook? And if they say something like, you know, oh, she should be more worried about this, do you write down in your notebook?
We tend to write notes on our script. Yeah, on the side of the script, really, yeah.
And do you have to then hand the scripts in when they're done? Or?
We have to shred them. Yes, it's all confidential. So as you leave the studio, you tend to just put them
What a shame. So, and now we come on to the second question by Bill, which was about the life drawing scene. Was it a closed set?
Can you imagine? Obviously, if it had been TV, it would have had to be, wouldn't it? So it was all left. It's all everyone's imagination, which is great.
Yes.
That's why I love radio. Because you can imagine if I'd got that script and it was TV, I'd be like, oh my goodness, look what I've got to do. And you'd be really scared about it. But because it's radio, you can just laugh and think, oh, how funny. Everyone's just going to be imagining the goal.
So your agent didn't have to call you and have the talk about, you know, they've suggested this.
No, you didn't have to have any of that.
Oh, it was great. Well, Bill, thank you so much for your call. And now we come on to Jen. It's a second call from Jen, but we're going to allow it because she's had a simply marvellous idea about a new term to apply to businesses in Ambridge.
Second call, but I had to comment on the other business story that's going on in Ambridge, which is Shula and the Stables. I'm going to refer to what's going on there as business whiplash. And this is a very common syndrome in Ambridge, where businesses can be going along, portrayed as incredibly successful, even be expanding and investing, and then the next minute, everything's terrible, it's completely changed character, and they're in the shit. This happens in Brookfield quite a lot. They will be doing great, expanding the herd, doing new initiatives, and then the next minute it's all falling apart again. Now it's happening to the Stables. We've gone from Shula's Stables being the place where Justin stables his magnificent Arab stallions, recommends to all his friends, including Latif Hussein, brings in Anisha, the top equine vet and keen eventer, to a shambolic, bumbling little Thelwell local village riding school with very little segue. As far as all the references go, Shula has professional liveries, mainly people who hunt. The lessons she's giving tend to be to the adults. Joanne does have gangs of children who turn up. But usually what happens in these affairs is that the livery owners of the horses allow them to be used for lessons in return. Well, basically, they actually allow them to do it so that their horses are exercised for free. Mm-hmm. Now suddenly she has a gang of ponies that she's meant to be supporting. She's also developed an indoor school, which she didn't have before. I know this because it was referenced in Route B that if she'd got the money, she was going to buy an indoor school. And since then, we haven't heard of one being built, but now it needs repairs. So it's just the typical thing. Obviously, Alice needs to be brought into the stables, and this is how they're doing it. But it does really lack credibility when they keep changing the nature and success of businesses.
Ooh. Oh, and there you go, Jen. We're only allowed 2 minutes for the call, so she just got rudely cut off there at the end. But that was fascinating, really, to hear about this business whiplash theme. I don't know, does it strike you ever when you're looking at the scripts that's happened?
I can't really think of an instant when I have, but it's interesting when someone points something out like that, isn't it? You think, ooh, I hadn't really thought about that. It's a great term, isn't it? Business whiplash.
And we haven't heard Joy in a business environment yet. I think that's the only area she hasn't got involved with yet.
No, don't think she has, you know.
Has she? Because she's not even volunteered to work at the shop yet, which is... I'd have thought she'd
be surprising, isn't it?
Yes.
I know early on, I remember she was trying to, she wanted to do some courses and teach people, but she didn't. I think that was the beginning of lockdown or something, and she didn't get much take on. It was very interesting. Bless her. Early on, when she first came, she talked a lot about how creative she was and she seems to be very good at lots of things. And I think she was hoping to run some workshops, but I think that's just so far come to nothing.
So maybe she's a Margaret Atwood and we don't know. Maybe she's a Booker Prize winner.
Lots of ideas coming out.
Yes, exactly. But I think Jen's right. You know, 1 minute a business seems good, then the next minute it's terrible. And same with the stables. I don't know. I thought Shula was going to be into being a paid clergy member rather than unpaid, so I don't know. But
yes, I did too. I thought it was going to be like a career move.
Yes,
so I understood it.
And I'm concerned about her insurance increasing. Maybe that's because she fell off the horse and had to make a claim.
I don't know.
How comfortable did you feel though listening to the discussions between Lillian and Justin, because it didn't seem as if Lillian can have her own business ideas?
I'm not sure about that. Yeah,
I just got cross that Justin was driving everything and not letting Lillian follow her own route.
We'll see. Lillian always seems to come round to how she wants them in the end.
Yes, absolutely.
So we'll have to see what happens about that one, won't we? Yeah.
Jen, business whiplash, we approve. Excellent. And now our final call is a second question from Emily. This one is a question for Joy, and it's about baking.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Jackie. It's Emily from Canada calling again. I'd like to know, what the heck are butterfly buns? Again, maybe that's a question for Joy. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Oh, butterfly buns.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion about this, Jackie, and Joy produced some butterfly buns.
Yeah, they're where you bake two little sponges, as far as I remember, and you cut them in half, and then you put like this sort of buttery cream stuff in the middle, and then put it back, and then you make the top like wings. Yeah,
you see, we call those butterfly cakes. So when we heard butterfly buns, we were like, what? We don't know what this is.
I think it's just I think that's just her version of them.
Well,
that's
fair enough.
But yeah, I think butterfly cakes. Yeah, nothing more surprising than that.
If Joy was choosing her favourite flavoured cake, what would it be?
Oh, I think chocolate.
Chocolate, there you go. Excellent, correct answer, I would say. So those are the calls, but you can also send us an email or a text if you prefer. You can send a text to 07957 167 696, and if you're outside the UK, add the +44. Or you can send an email on dumdydum.com website, click the Contact Us tab at the top. And so we go from our caller-innerers to our email and texter-innerers. So I'm going to read them out, Jackie. The first message is from Helen, And Helen is from Rotherham. Hi, Jackie. Firstly, wanted to say how much I love Joy, but I have to admit that, like many listeners and Ambridge residents, I didn't like her for quite a while when she first moved in. When you first started on The Archers, did you know that you'd become one of the most loved characters? Or did you think you'd be forever met with eye rolls and gritted teeth? And if you did feel you would be forever avoided and disliked as a character, how did you feel?
Oh, that's a really good question, isn't it?
Mm.
I'm trying to remember when it. I think that I always hoped that she would as you got to know more about her, you'd understand more of why she's like she is. Maybe I think there's always going to be an element with Joy of her being a bit irritating and a bit, you know, eye rolly. But I think, and you know, a lot of times in The Archers, when I listen myself, it takes a while for a character to bed in, doesn't it?
Quite.
For people to, and they do, I quite often change my mind on how I feel about a character. So, and I think in terms of how I felt as an actor, you don't mind either. And sometimes, like, it's really good fun to play a baddie, or it's really good fun to play someone that's quite irritating and gets on everybody's nerves. Mm. So I think as an actor, I really, really don't mind, as long as she's still there and yes, people are interested in her. That's kind of, you know, what you want really as an actor, you know. I mean, personally, I'm loving how she's evolving. I think it's great. It's lovely to play, and there's been some lovely feedback, which is really, really nice. I'm happy about that, obviously.
Yes. How much would you say is there Jackie in Joy, if that makes sense?
That's interesting. I don't feel very much personally, but I think as me as a person, I'm warm and friendly, and I think that she is. Mm. So,
yes.
Yeah, hopefully not too much. Hope I don't get on everybody's nerves quite as much as she can. But
I don't think she does now as well. She
don't.
And you would never get on anyone's nerves, Jackie. But Joy, I think at the biggest, speaking personally, I mean, I'm at fault with not liking characters when they first come along. But yes, Joy did seem to.
She did come in with a bang. I remember the first episode she did, she was representing the new estate at one of the parish council meetings. Do you remember?
I do, with all the muck in the road.
Yes, complaining about the muck. And you're like, oh, here's a townie. This is going to annoy everybody. So it kind of, you think, oh, well, everyone was straight away going to be like irritated by her, weren't they? And she never stopped talking and interrupted people. And I mean, I think that probably she was very nervous, but it she didn't make a great first impression, did she?
But oh, how we grew to love her. We we really did. I mean, you know, Joy for Prime Minister. Were you aware when you started of the amount of sort of Ambridge fans and analysis and social media and podcasts? Did you know what you were sort of getting in for?
No, not really. And you soon find out quite quickly. But no, I mean, I always knew, you know, the avid fans. And as I say, I've got friends who've lifelong avid listeners who know everything and remember everything, which I always find fascinating that they can remember. Because my memory's not that great, and I'll think, oh yeah, that did happen. But it's incredible, isn't it? It's a phenomenal family. I mean, I love all the Twitter stuff. It's great. It's really, it's what I like about it is that there's a great sense of fun to it.
Yes.
But also there's genuine concern, isn't there?
Yes.
And love for it, which is. But you all have a good fun with it, which I think is great. I love it. Really enjoy it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, because there are these tweet-alongs where people listen and I don't know how they manage to multitask.
I couldn't do that. No, I couldn't do that.
But very good.
Manage.
So, Helen, thank you very much for that question. Now, the next one is from Chris in Canada, and it's a long one, so bear with me. Hi, Philippa. I'm a first-time caller-innerer, and though I've listened to Dum-de-Dum for a few years, my name is Christine Arcree, and I've lived in Saskatoon, Canada for almost 25 years, although I was born in Upminster and have lived all over the UK. I grew up with the Archers. My dad used to walk in the door at about 6:45, just as the Archers was starting, and so Barrett Green was known as daddy's music in our house. Oh. I work in a laboratory testing for veterinary drug residues in meat and meat products. Some time ago, Joy said something about Rochelle having a temper, which made me wonder if she was sectioned or maybe detained at Her Majesty's pleasure and isn't allowed visitors. This, of course, assumes that Rochelle exists. I know there's been thoughts that Joy is in witness protection and Rochelle is just a cover story. I had a different theory. I was chopping liver at the time, so maybe that has something to do with it. I wonder if Joy is some kind of protection officer. She's never afraid to have a go. I haven't lived in the UK for many years, so I don't know if this is a thing, but I wonder if she is in child protection and has been assigned to keep an eye on Helen, Jack, and Henry because Rob is back in the country. The way her voice changed when she was talking about Rochelle's temper made me think she's real, but maybe not a daughter, perhaps a sister with a temper. Isn't it great that we can indulge in these flights of fancy about fictional characters? Love the show, Chris.
Oh, that's a lovely email, isn't it?
It is, but Chris is saying they're fictional characters. Sorry, Chris.
I don't know. She's wrong.
Yeah. They're real, surely.
They're more real than my family. Yeah.
So, yeah, so there's lots of different views. I mean, I've been one to say maybe either Joy is in witness protection or Secret Service or something. I'm expecting her to have a helicopter.
I love all these theories. I know, I love all these theories. You wonder, don't you, whether the script writers and editors, well, you know, because they all look, you wonder whether they ever get any ideas from listeners. I wonder and think, oh, that's a good idea.
Yes, because some of the script writers are much more on social media than others.
Yes. That's
and
true.
Again, I can understand that. But yes, I do wonder if there's anything, oh, that's a good point. Let's do that.
Or they're all saying that, so let's not go that way. I wonder. We just don't know, do we?
Well, no, please can they make me be right? That's terrible. I'm so selfish. But yes, you're not giving anything away, Jackie. You're being very good.
I think, do you know what I think? Certainly as a listener myself, you don't really want to know anything in advance, do you? It's like, you know, it's like no spoilers, isn't it? You don't want to know because part of the joy of it and part of the fun, I think, is trying to work out what you think's happening. You know,
yes, I guess we do and we don't. I don't want to know because it would ruin it. Yes. But equally,
you think you do.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, oh, it's just wonderful. It really is. So, Chris, thank you very much for that. And our third message is from Judith. A question for Jackie. Which are you more looking forward to playing? The revelation of why you are now in Ambridge or the revelation of a love interest for Joy?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Ooh, do you know what? I don't think it even had ever entered my head. I mean, Joy does get these fixations on certain men, doesn't she, for a little while?
Yes.
So maybe she is lonely and looking for love. Ooh, who knows?
It would be nice if she doesn't have to fall into that sort of routine to be happy, but I don't want her to be lonely.
This is true. I know. I think in all her Spanish lessons and all these, she just desperately and she had a thing about a Spanish teacher, didn't she, for a little while? She thought he was rather lovely.
Oh, she did.
I don't know.
She's had a thing for, she's had quite a few gentlemen, actually.
I think she just admires men from afar. I don't know. We'll have to see what the script writers come up with.
We will.
But I'm as interested as everybody else.
She's not a fan of the Wolverine characters, though, in boxes, is she? She didn't think...
But she called them dollies. That made me laugh. They're not dolls, Joy.
I remember Lee talking about Wolverine with his claws. It was great. Do you have like a cast WhatsApp where you sort of...
We do have a cast WhatsApp. Fantastic. Yeah, we do. It's great. It's lovely. It's a lovely way to keep in touch, especially now as we're, you know, there's less actors in each episode because of what's going on at the moment. So there's less people in the studio. So you cannot see people for a long, long time. So it's a lovely way of keeping in touch and wishing each other happy birthday when it's someone's birthday, or if someone else is doing, say, a nice project, they can tell us and we can all have a listen or a watch, depending on what it is. So it's lovely. It's really nice.
Oh, that's so nice.
It is. It's a lovely thing.
And we're all waiting to get the final extra episode back so we can go back to 6 days a week.
I know. I think they're working, you know, as soon as it's possible to do that, that is the desire on everybody's part. But it's just at the moment with the restrictions, every episode takes longer to do. So I think at the moment where it's as it is, but the intention as soon as it's possible will be to get back to, you know, the full work.
Right. So it's much more driven by the sort of the logistics of working in pandemic times.
It is still that. Yes, it is, unfortunately.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
Well, for all sorts of reasons, roll on when things are better.
Absolutely.
So now we go to our fourth message this week, and it's from Charles, who goes by the name of Gideon, not Jack, who has some thoughts on the Gills. And he says, the enduring mystery of the Gills, why are the new owners of Holmes Farm Home, the Gills, so absent from Ambridge life? They could be rich Londoners who truck in their weekend comestibles from Fortnum & Mason in a convoy of Range Rovers. No need, therefore, to endure Susan's customer service / interrogation at Ye Village Shoppie. But their discretion suggests another reason. Evesham, Felbersham, is just 30 minutes via Range Rover from the UK's Signal Intelligence Centre, GCHQ in Cheltenham. At least one of the Gills is a cryptologist. Yours, Gideon, not Jack. Well.
Wow.
Maybe Joy's involved in GCHQ as well.
Wow. That's another theory.
Are you any good with your Morse code?
Could be. Could gen up on it really quickly.
Yes, quickly, very quickly. It's an odd one because I would have thought the new owners of Home Farm would be part of it, and yet we don't hear from them at all. So
that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. We'll have to see what develops.
We will, won't we? Mm-hmm. We will.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for your calls and emails and texts. We value them so much. Please keep them coming.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And so to Facebook and our lovely Dumpty Dum community there, as we sit back for the weekly roundup with Sandra.
Hello.
Hello, this is Sandra with the social media roundup for the week beginning Sunday the 17th of October. Apologies if I have missed any of the discussions, and I'm sure I have, but I've had a few days away and have had to catch up. One storyline across the week was about Shula and her problems with the stables. Paul Norris listened and commented that we were back to the Justin we all know and love to hate. Ged Robinson thought that Lillian would have enough independent wealth to invest in the stables. However, many listeners pointed out that it was joint cash between Lillian and Justin that was ready for investment. There's been a lot of love for Jazza among listeners this week. Carol Walker hopes that Jazza doesn't lose his job for speaking out about Martin Gibson's treatment of Blake. Marie Montgomery said that she didn't like Jazza, but has changed her mind, and she thinks that he has matured since his relationship started with Tracy. Quite a few of us seem to be shouting when Martin Gibson steamrolled Blake into talking to the journalist. Adam Rayner said, "What a strange way to introduce a new character, Dave's mum." He was, of course, referring to Jill's long absence from the programme. The lack of pickers at Bridge Farm was highlighted in the week. And then, of course, Adam walked out of his new job. Emily Pettingell was surprised to hear Adam laugh, and I'm sure she wasn't the only one. Witherspoon hoped that Adam, having no managerial responsibilities, will be good for himself and, of course, for us. Jennifer's response to hearing Adam's news was commented on. She was described as being snobbish. There's a surprise. Kay Goff questioned what Jennifer had accomplished in her life. Of course, many of us remember that she was a single mother for a while after Adam was born, and she had trained as a teacher. Of course, she raised four children of her own, as well as Rory. Some listeners were able to relate their own experiences of taking lower-paid jobs with less responsibility, and what a relief it was for them. Well, that's all for this week. Bye.
Thank you, Sandra, and everyone who's posted their thoughts on the Dum De Dum Facebook group. What a great community. Do join us there. We'd love to see you. And we're also on Twitter at Dum De Dum. Do include that and the Archers hashtag, but use a capital T and a capital A so the visually impaired can enjoy the tweets as well. And now it's that time of the week, the tweet of the week. Now, Jackie, we do this every week. We select three Archer's tweets that we think are of merit, and they're rated bronze, silver and gold. Now, what I've done is I've selected the three tweets that I think stand up, and I'm wondering if, when I tell you them, if you could choose which receives the bronze award, which receives the silver and which gets the gold.
Oh, I'd be honoured. Thank you.
So I'm not going to read the names out who've done that until you've chosen.
Right.
So the first one is this. Stella: "I haven't made any friends yet." Ruth: "Don't worry, I've been here for 35 years and I still haven't made any myself." So that's the first one. The second one: "They could enlist Joy in the picking. She's been waiting for her chance to tempt Tony with an apple and blame it on the serpent." And then the third one: "Unless Adam has a tabard, he's not a manager."
They're great. I think I'm going to go the Adam one, bronze.
Okay, hang on a moment. Adam one is bronze. Yeah.
Silver for Stella.
Yes.
And I've got to go with Joy for the gold, haven't
yes.
I?
Yes, excellent. So I'm going to read those now in order. So thank you. Those are brilliant selections. So in bronze, we have Little Kim, who can be found at Little Kim. "Unless Adam has a tabard, he's not a manager." That did make me laugh as soon as I saw that one. And in silver, we have Stephen Bowden, who's at Wenlock House. "Stella: I haven't made any friends yet." Ruth: "Don't worry, I've been here for 35 years and I still haven't made any myself." And in gold, we have Lefty Laney, which is at Elaine Wharton 1. They could enlist Joy in the picking. She's been waiting for her chance to tempt Tony with an apple and blame it on the serpent.
What great tweets. They're fabulous.
Weren't they? It's so hard to choose, but those were all very good ones. So we're drawing close to the end of this episode, sadly, but I need to say thanks again to Stephen for his fabulous Dumpty Dum tune, and to Quentin, Rosie, Jen, Mia, Emily, Witherspoon, Bill, Charles, Chris, Judith and Helen for their calls, emails and texts. Thanks also to our social media team, Shambridge for her voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and our podcasting parents, Lucy V. Freeman and Roy Phil Brown. So I just need to say what I think might be revealed next week. Will we actually get to hear the Harvest Festival, or will it be delayed so long it merges with Christmas? Will Shula stop wringing her hands and start ringing her accountant to help with a battle plan for the stables? Will Martin Gibson's reaction be to sack Jazza? Jazza will then sue him for the wrongful dismissal and Jim can be his legal advisor again. And will Adam decide that he really can't work at Bridge Farm as the commute is far too short and it gives him more time at home with his family? Zunder's already started a petition. All will be revealed. Which brings us to the end of this week's episode. Jackie.
Oh, what fun. I've had a great time.
You've been a superstar.
You're an amazing lot, you are.
It's just been an honour and a privilege. You are a joy to talk to.
I hope I get to do it again sometime.
Oh my goodness, anytime. You would be very, very welcome. So it's a bye-bye from me.
I'll just say bye to everybody. I think you're a fantastic lot and I've had great fun today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.